Thank you very much, Barb. Well, somebody said, welcome back. I'm back. I was here on January 1, the first day of the new year. And while I'm getting myself organized, I might mention that Andrew asked if I might be able to provide an outline of the sermon this morning. And I said, that would be difficult, but it would really help if you could put on the screen the words of my text, which is just one verse, and two Lord's Days from the Heidelberg Catechism. And I said, I'm going to try to connect that verse and those Lord's Days and the Lord's Supper around a word that matters. And I'll tell you about that word in a little bit. So my text this morning is 1 John 5, verse 13. It's one of my favorite verses. And it's simple. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. And because it's only one verse, let me read it again. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Well, as I grow older, I'm more and more aware of how many things have changed in my lifetime. The changes in technology are incredible. About 20 years ago, my granddaughter asked me what that was on my desk. And I said, that's a typewriter. And it was a modern, sleek-looking typewriter, but she had no idea what it was. Well, I just spent 4 weeks in Florida and Myrtle Beach, and it's amazing. My kids gave me a Ring doorbell for Christmas, and I would be able to see when somebody came to my door. And actually, there's a little camera in my living room. And when my granddaughter came to inside to water my wife's plants, I was able to watch her on my phone. It's just amazing what technology does. It was about the time I retired from active ministry, my kids gave me a Garmin GPS. And I thought that was the greatest thing. I don't know how I ever left home without it. But now we use our phone, we use Waze and Google, and we know when there's a traffic tie-up, we know when there's a car on the side of the road, we even know where there's a speed trap. So many different changes have taken place in my lifetime, and they seem to come faster and faster. Well, I've seen a lot of changes in my ministry, too. I began my ministry in Lamar's, Iowa, which some people might know as the home of Wells Blue Bunny Ice Cream. Well, Lamar's, Iowa was about 20 miles south of Dort College in Sioux Center, Iowa. And when I began my ministry, we had a morning and an evening service. We did an annual day of prayer and a national day of prayer service. We had an old year service on the last day of the year, and a New Year's Day service on the first day of the new year, and an Ascension Day service and a Good Friday service, and we did a preparatory service the week before we celebrated the Lord's Supper. And we sang from a book. We sang from the Psalter hymnal. Well, a lot of those things have changed. And even the way we celebrate the Lord's Supper has changed. In my first summer assignment as a seminary student, I was sent to northern Minnesota. And it was a small church. And so I offered to do family visiting with an elder. And they said, oh, that'd be great. We haven't had family visiting for a long time. And we visited with this elderly widow. And after the visit, the elder said, by the way, she doesn't take the Lord's Supper. She refuses to take it anymore. And then he went on to say that when they changed from the common cup to individual cups, her husband said that he would never take the Lord's Supper with individual cups. And then he died. And to honor him, she refused to take the Lord's Supper. And I just wished he had told me that before the visit so that we could have talked about that. But I've never seen a common cup. I've never experienced a common cup. I have a feeling that if we tried a common cup now, there would be a lot of people who would be like that widow who might not want to participate. A lot of things have changed. Most churches today have probably switched from wine to grape juice, and most churches today probably don't do a preparatory service before celebrating the Lord's Supper. And most churches today don't require guests and visitors to make an application to partake of the Lord's Supper and be approved by the elders before the service. Most churches probably do what this church does. You welcome your guests who are members of a church to partake of the Lord's Supper. But this morning I want to look at something that has not changed. The Lord's Supper says a lot of things that are in our formulary this morning, and it also makes mention of the word assure. And this morning I would like to look with you at the word that matters, and it's the word assure. The word assurance. The Lord's Supper assures us of salvation. Well, one of my favorite verses is 1 John 5, verse 13, which we have read. It's on the screen. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. John doesn't want us to hope we have eternal life. He doesn't want us to worry about whether we have eternal life. He doesn't want us to be afraid that we might not have eternal life. He wants us to know that we have eternal life. He wants us to have the assurance of salvation. Harvey and Adriana were members of my church. They were elderly people. And Adriana had a very shaky, quaky voice. She never had to tell me who she was. If she would call me on the phone, I immediately knew who she was. I have never heard anybody talk like Adriana. So anyway, Adriana was sick, very sick, and Harvey was able to take care of her, and she recovered and became well. And then some years later, Harvey became ill, and Adriana was able to take care of him. But before Harvey went to the hospital for the last time, where he passed away, Harvey said to Adriana that he was afraid to die. He said that he was afraid he was not good enough to be saved. And so in her shaky, quaky voice, Adriana said to Harvey, "Harvey, you have to look away from yourself and look to Jesus." And then she asked me what I thought of that. And I said, "Adriana, that was the perfect answer." Perhaps the reason why many Christians don't experience the joy and comfort of the assurance of salvation is because they're looking at their own selves, like Harvey was. And they look at their own sinfulness and they wonder how in the world a sinner like themselves could possibly be saved. Well, the solution, according to the Apostle John, is to believe in the name of the Son of God, to believe in Jesus. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. So does it matter? That's the word. The word is assurance, assurance of salvation. Does that word matter? Yes, it does. And it matters for three reasons. It matters, first of all, because if you don't have that assurance of salvation, it's going to diminish your joy. It's going to take away some of your comfort. Just imagine the government has all kinds of money. They seem to be giving money to everybody and everywhere. So let's just imagine, most of us are from Kent County, let's just imagine that the government decided that they were going to give $100,000 to 50% of the households in Kent County. Now you say, that's a wonderful thing. That would be great. That'd be all over the news. Probably make national news. There'd only be one thing that would diminish your joy, and that is that you wouldn't know if you were in the 50% that was going to receive the $100,000. But then if you got a notice by mail or maybe by email or however, if you got a notice that you were in the 50% that was going to get the $100,000, oh, then your joy would be complete. You would be overjoyed. You would be so excited. Well, it's the same in the Christian life. How can we rejoice if we are not certain of our salvation? Well, the lack of assurance is also, if I can use the word, dishonors God. You know, we all want to honor God. But in a way, if we don't have that assurance of salvation, it dishonors God. Because he has given us the gospel to give us comfort and strength and joy. And if we don't have those things that he has given us the gospel for, in a way, it dishonors God. Well, I asked Andrew if he would put Lord's Day 1, Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 1, question and answer 1, on the screen. I'd like to read it. Maybe you can follow along. And it's up there. Let me read and you listen and follow along. What is your only comfort in life and death? That I am not my own, but belong body and soul in life and in death to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, we're going to read the whole thing, but notice that our comfort and our strength is to know body and soul in life and in death we belong to our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for all my sins with his precious blood and has set me free from the tyranny of the devil. He also watches over me in such a way that not a hair can fall from my head without the will of my Father in heaven. In fact, all things must work together for my salvation. Because I belong to him, Christ, by his Holy Spirit, assures me of eternal life. I got to read that again. Because I belong to him, Christ, by his Holy Spirit, assures me of eternal life and makes me wholeheartedly willing and ready from now on to live for him. Christ, by the Holy Spirit, gives me the assurance of eternal life. Well, the third reason why it matters that we have that assurance of salvation is because without that assurance, it damages our witness to the world. The world doesn't want something that we hope is true or we wonder if it's true. They want what we know is true, that we have that assurance of salvation. Okay, so how does the Holy Spirit give us that assurance of salvation? We're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper in just a few moments, and I'm going to once again read from the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 28. How does the Lord's Supper remind you and assure you that you share in Christ's one sacrifice on the cross and in all his gifts? And here's the answer. In this way, Christ has commanded me and all believers to eat this broken bread and drink this cup. With this command, he gave this promise. First, as surely as you see, as I see with my eyes, the bread the Lord has broken for me and the cup given to me, so surely his body was offered and broken for me and his blood poured out for me on the cross. Second, as surely as I receive from the hand of him who serves and taste with my mouth the bread and the cup of the Lord given me as sure signs of Christ's body and blood, so surely he nourishes and refreshes my soul for eternal life with his crucified body and poured out blood. In other words, as sure as you see the bread and the wine with your eyes, and as sure as you taste the bread and the grape juice with your mouth, That's how sure you can be that Christ died for your sins when you put your faith and trust in him. So every time we celebrate the Lord's Supper, God is assuring us of his salvation through faith in Christ. There is a Chinese proverb that describes four kinds of people, and everybody fits one of the four categories. And I'm going to use the word man because that's the way the proverb has it. Today we would probably say something more generic like people. But it's a tongue twister. So you have to pay really close attention. But there's four kinds of people, according to the Chinese proverb. The first man is the man who knows not and knows not that he knows not. And according to the proverb, this man is simple, and we need to teach him. The second man knows not, and he knows that he knows not, and could care less. According to the proverb, this man is a fool, and we should avoid him. The third man knows, and he knows not that he knows. According to the proverb, he is asleep, and we must wake him. And the fourth man knows, and he knows that he knows. And according to the Proverbs, this is a wise man, and we should follow him. Now, everyone, all of us, in our relationship to Jesus, fits pretty much those same four categories. Some people know not, and know not that they know not. These are people who have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. They've never heard the name of Jesus. Maybe they live in that 1040 window where a lot of Muslims live and very, very few Christians live. Maybe they're an unreached people group. Maybe their language has never been written down. The gospel has never been translated into their language for one reason or another. Whatever the reason, they have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we, in the words of the proverb, we must teach them. The second kind of person knows not and knows they know not and could care less. They are fools. Psalm 14, verse 1 says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. They've heard the gospel. They know what the gospel says. And they rejected it. They're the agnostics and atheists. And the way the proverb puts it, we must not let them deceive us. The third kind of people know, and know not that they know. Those are the Christians who don't have the assurance of salvation. They're spiritually asleep, and we must wake them. And finally, the fourth kind of person knows, and he knows that he knows. They have the assurance of salvation. They are truly wise. Psalm 11, verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and we must follow them. Well, about a week and a half ago, not this past week, but the week before, I took my Toyota to the dealer for an oil change. Now, suppose that when I walked into the dealership and I walked up to that little counter, suppose that the person behind the counter said, what size do you wear? What kind of suit, what color suit are you looking for? And I would say, I'm not looking to buy a suit. I came here to get my Toyota oil change. The sign outside says Toyota. You're not as good as your name. And then suppose I went to Meijer just down the street by River Crossing Mall and I needed to get some groceries. I wanted to get some milk and eggs. And I walk in and the greeter says, and the store is full of furniture. And the greeter says, what kind of furniture are you looking for? Are you looking for bedroom furniture or living room furniture or something else? And I say, I'm not looking for furniture. I'm looking for groceries. I came here for bread and milk. It says Meijer. You're not as good as your name. Well, the name Jesus means Savior. And the Lord's Supper assures us that Jesus is as good as his name. Will you pray with me? Almighty God, we want to praise and thank you for that assurance of salvation by your grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And we pray for your blessing upon all the means to the world, whether it's by radio or by television or by internet or by printed page or by word of mouth. We pray that by the work of your Holy Spirit, people will respond in faith and have the comfort and joy of knowing that they belong to you and nothing can ever separate them from your everlasting love. So we thank you that we can come this morning and celebrate the Lord's Supper and be assured that if we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we have the promise of salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.